You know, he knows what I'm talking about. They have sacred sites where they're from. And that's what I think is important for all people. When I talk to, like, just people who are just American, you know, it's like talking to a wall, you know, and it's sad. So that's why that wo'ushida kicks in, that compassion, because I'm looking at it from a point of compassion. Like, this person, you know, they don't know who they are. They think they're American. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's they've been given, labeled, you know, pretty much packaged and ready to ship. You know what I'm saying? Their mind has been that. And that's really sad. And that's where that wo'ushida comes in. Like, I feel bad. So I want people to understand, like, go ahead. Deep dive into your culture. Deep dive into your history. You're going to hit a point where it's just almost unbearable, practically unbearable and traumatic and painful, you know. Just keep diving. Don't stop. Keep diving. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a point where you're probably going to hit that, where you're going to get, where your people met the book. You know, I'm talking about religion. You know, deep dive beyond that, because that's going to be painful too. But beneath that, we deep down in those roots, you're going to find that power. That you're going to find your drum. You're going to find your language. You're going to find your people. You're going to find your history. And that will help you, you know, in this life. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Keep you connected. So when you go to these sacred sites, when you feel the power, the energy of these, the rivers here, and all this medicine that's around here, and Minnesota Makoche, this is a powerful place. You can have that same connection. You'll know, because you have a place too that's just like this. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's really important. That's what helped me. You know, I've experienced racism, oppression to this day. You know what I mean? With the state of the world is, but I've never felt powerless. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I've never, and I owe that all to those roots, that drum, you know, Chanchega, that drum that we have, you know. And then that's what I say, like, I owe it all to those who came before us, before me, and that got us here, and all the things they had to go through to endure to be here, just to get me here, is so just important and powerful in itself. And like, that's, and I could, any way that I could honor that to move forward for our future and our future generation. That's what's important to me. I encourage people just to, like, find that connection, you know. Mm-hmm. For me, the simple thing that I do when I don't have tobacco, what's helped me was, like, I just take my hand, you know, my left hand, and I put it on a tree, and I say, ho, matako, ashe, or all my relations. I'm making a conscious decision to recognize my connection with this tree, this life force, you know, there's energy there, you know, and our oneness, you know, and that helps me so much, you know, that helps keep me grounded, you know. If I don't have tobacco, I don't smoke, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I do put tobacco down all the time. I'm always, wherever I go, I'm putting tobacco down, especially if it's a sacred site or someplace I know that's, there's a lot of energy and power there. I just, that recognition to me goes a long way to me recognizing my our place. And those little, that life force that's there.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Travis, thank you so much, Pidamaya, for all of your energy and the love that you give with to the community and everything that you do.
From Minneapolis's historic West Bank, you're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul, or streaming and archived on kfai.org. It's where community has always grown.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination. a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Kind of got a little different show here on Thursday. I asked Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin to come on again and talk about what's happening politically here, and especially with what happened yesterday. And also, we got Bob Blake from Red Lake coming on a little later doing the same and then giving us an update on Solar Bear with the solar news. But before I get to Arvina, I just want to remind everyone on Saturday, September 13th, our walk team, Team AM 950, will join hundreds of other teams supporting Recovery Connections Walk for Recovery on the grounds of the Minnesota State Capitol. So I'll see you all there. It's the 15th annual Walk for Recovery. And other Recovery Month events are a way to celebrate recovery, show your support, generate hope, reduce the stigma, and the offerings proof of that recovery is real. And so I just want to throw that out there. I'll be out there, and we'll be out there this coming Saturday. I asked Arvina to come on. Robert Lilligren had another very important appointment to do, and we're really blessed to have Arvina come on, Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, and kind of talk me off the cliff here a little bit, especially 24 hours after this tragic event that we do not support at all. But it's just, there's a lot to unravel here, and so I'm very grateful that Arvina could make it. Welcome, Arvina.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here. This has kind of made me kind of have to really think about my feelings about everything and what happens next. There's lots of possibilities, and a lot of those possibilities are scary.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess for me, I really didn't know much about Charlie Kirk until today. I know I heard a few quotes over the years, and I didn't realize how important he was to the Republican Party and this last election with young ones. So that was really interesting to see. But also what came about with that, too, was his rhetoric that really is pretty upsetting and... again, no one deserves to be murdered, but it's also, we had some representatives here in Minnesota shot, and the president didn't reach out to our governor. There was no half staff at the flags like's happening in Washington now and around for this person. So I just, again, feel, I don't know. I talk me off this cliff here, because it's really, one, an interesting time that's happening, and I don't know if it's like the 60s. I was very young during then with all these assassinations and these things going on. Help me, Arvina.
I mean, I guess, first off, I am someone who has a lot of empathy, probably a little too much empathy for all. I mean, let's be real. I feel empathy towards inanimate objects at times. So the events of yesterday, you know, as an empathetic human being, I am really sad about the fact that one of our fellow human beings was, you know, had his life cut short in such a violent way, and that he, you know, was a young husband and father with two children that now will just grow up with memories of, and I mean, maybe not even memories, I think they're that little, but, you know, stories of their dad instead of of being able to have experiences with him. And that's sad. I mean, on a human level, especially, that is really sad. And I certainly have a lot of empathy for his loved ones that are navigating such a quick and tragic loss that they didn't anticipate. But I also can recognize that a lot of the things that Charlie Kirk has said and said with his full chest, this is not someone who was shy about sharing his opinion, mm-hmm. And his thoughts on things. And a lot of the things that he said showed that he would not have the same empathy for any of us. You know, he did not show empathy for Representative Hortman, you know, or anybody else that is not aligned with his political views. You know, he actually said that empathy doesn't have a place. I'm trying to recall his quote about, you know, empathy is a made up word.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's okay to have that empathy for the human loss. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think that kind of empathy is something that makes us human.
Right.
And that's okay. But I also know the kind of harm that he has caused so many people, and so many people that are dealing already with all of these systems of oppression that already face them, you know, and so just adding on to those, I don't want to just call them troubles, but like adding to the burden that a lot of people, you know, trans people, Black folks in particular, you know, he frequently said terrible things about people that are different from him. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was just reading a post about a professor that he deemed too woke, and he put her on a list.
Yeah.
And that list was on the Turning Points website. And she had to have additional security. She was getting, you know, crazy, crazy emails, phone calls, etc., because he said that she was bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, that put her into the like added violence to her life, put her in danger of violence happening to her, and all the other mm-hmm. names on that list of professors doing their jobs.
Yeah.
So I understand a lot of people having very complex thoughts,
mm-hmm.
and feeling sad or feeling empathy with the human aspect, but not wanting to canonize this guy. Because a lot of the work that he has done has hurt so many of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean hurt in some kind of like, oh, I got my feelings hurt kind of way. Mm-hmm. You know, things that added to the struggle of so many people. And I'm also really saddened by the disparate response.
Mm-hmm.
Of people on the other side of the aisle, on the right, who had no such empathy for Melissa Hartman and her family, Senator, or was it Representative Hoffman?
Yes.
And his family, you know, there was not this kind of outcry or kind of you know, this sense of empathy from the other side.
Yeah, I agree.
Arvina, let's take a quick break. I'm here with Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin and a fellow Ho-Chunk.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us thousands of years ago and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today.
To the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way.
To those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people.
To those who left their communities by force or by choice and through generations no longer know who they are.
To those who search and never find. To those that turn away the so-called non-accepted. To those that bring us together. And to those living outside, keeping touch, the voice for many.
To those that make it back to live and fight the struggles of their people. To those that give up and those who do not care. To those who abuse themselves and others. And those who revive again. To those who are physically, mentally, or spiritually incapable by accident or by birth.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm here with Arvina Martin, our friend here from Emerge Wisconsin, and we're talking about these times and how crazy it is. We just had a school shooting, which seems like a long time ago here, but it really isn't. And then on the same day of the Charlie Kirk, assassination, there was a school shooting in Colorado. So we can't get away from this gun violence that's erupting here in this country. And I don't even know if that's the right word, erupting. It's been here, and it's just coming forward. Again, Arvina, thanks so much for coming on and helping me talk through this and process this this craziness that's happening here in our country.
I am really sad too about the school shooting that happened in Colorado yesterday. Mm-hmm. I believe there is still one kid in critical condition, and that is tragic. And you're absolutely right. We are like weeks away from the last school shooting. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure that there were incidents in between, but ones that make the news. But then this one probably would have made the news, but it didn't because it happened almost at the same time as the shooting of Charlie Kirk. And so, you know, we know which one's going to get headlines, which is, it feels very crass to say something like that in a situation where it's all the competing for attention, where it's over events where humans died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not on the front page, I'll tell you that. I've been looking around, scouring the internet about what we're going to talk about today, and it was hard to find. Even Associated Press, I'd have to go a deep couple pages in there even just to find it. You know, I don't know if you've seen this, but I've seen at least three or four on my social media feeds and also on YouTube watching Charlie Kirk be murdered. I mean, in real time, it's like shades of JFK and RFK. But I don't think we saw that much after that, those assassinations happened. And I'm seeing this, and I don't know if it's because of the phones or what, but I'm really kind of going, I can't believe how much, you know, YouTube and these places haven't blocked this.
I mean, that was very distressing. I just opened up my Instagram feed and the first, and you know, they have autoplay. So, you know, it just started going and I, at the time, didn't know what was happening. So I was like, you know, kind of thinking in my head, well, what's Charlie Kirk saying now? And then I saw him get shot and collapse. And like, that set off I physically reacted. It shocked me. And I am like, it scares me again that this came up, you know, because, and it was the first thing in my feed. It just automatically started, you know, it wasn't hidden. It wasn't, you know, there wasn't a warning. People will mock trigger warnings or content warnings, but for something like this, absolutely there should be something, because there's something very, it feels wrong to be watching and rewatching the moment that someone's life ends.
Yeah. It's,
you know,
crazy.
I heard somebody say something during some of this coverage that, you know, the Zapruder film was locked up for decades.
Yes.
And no one saw it. Mm-hmm. And now it's going to happen. And now I think one of the smaller side effects is that we're going to have to be more careful about how we use social media, how we mindlessly go through our Instagram feeds, just, you know, because we have a minute between calls.
That's amazing that you felt the same way, because I was like going, I don't even really have to go look for this, and it's coming right at me. Arvina, let me just switch gears just for a second, because I wanted to bring this up in the top of the show, and it's on my notes, and I have totally forgot. Because of what, you know, well, I've just totally forgot. I had relatives of relatives that died at 9/11, and I just want to give this day a solemn shout out to, and your thoughts. I forgot to bring that up on the top of the show, and I really wanted to bring it up with you too, because it's just another, it's just another thing, and it's exhausting, and it's life or death, and it's exhausting.
Absolutely. And we also have to know that this is the context of what we experienced yesterday as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah. There's a heavy feeling in the air, you know, and for me, as like, I don't know anybody or have connections with folks that lost their lives that day. But again, as a human being with empathy, that day was awful. I mean, mm-hmm. you can't use a strong enough word. And I know, you know, as someone who lived through that day, think about it every anniversary. Like I do think about it every mm-hmm. anniversary and how things have changed. And, yeah. and to have this act of violence happen in the midst of this kind of time of contemplation that I think mm-hmm. September 11th brings to a lot of people is mm-hmm. it just adds to the heaviness of all of it, and I think the fear that people have of what is going to happen in the future, because yeah. we remember not knowing, you know, once people realize we're being attacked. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people thought, what is going to happen next? And that unknown, that fear was so strong. And I think a lot of people are feeling that now, too.
Yeah, it is a parallel. You're absolutely right. I know I was teaching at the time, and I saw it happen, or somebody mentioned to me in the hall as I was heading back to my class. And we turned the TV on to see the second plane go in. And then we knew something was up. And one of the things too, Arvina, was how eerie it is. I live in St. Paul, And you can hear the airport from the distance. We don't have planes going over our neighborhood, but you could hear it from a distance and how quiet it was for the next week because there was no planes except F-16s flying around. It was that I'll never forget that, too.
Right? I mean, it's eerie and makes you think about the little things in the background that you always take for granted until they're not there anymore.
Yeah.
Definitely. And something small like that can just add to the gravity of a situation.
Well, I just want to say I really appreciate you coming on. And there are parallels with 9/11 and the eeriness that we feel. I really, really appreciate you coming on. And I just wanted to reach out to you because I feel like we have a great conversation about what's going on nationally, politically, too, here. And just to talk me through this today and... We didn't really get deep into it, but I feel a little bit better about being able to talk it out and also, you know, touch base with you about how you felt, because I really felt weird about seeing that shooting all the time. And I'm glad you feel the same and it's not just me.
Absolutely. And you know, I want to remind you and everybody listening that these times are extraordinary. And you know, like my daughter said to me during the pandemic, Mama, I'm sick of living in historic times. Mm. The unknown, the uncertainty is an unpredictability of everything. It is very overwhelming. And, you know, I just want to encourage everybody to feel your feelings and know that maybe your feelings are conflicting with each other, but that's okay. And to really kind of let yourself feel those things in a healthy way so that you can learn from it and kind of maybe reassure yourself or just processing it and take care of yourself. Make sure you're drinking water. Because we all forget, my mouth is really dry right now, and I'm like, I forgot to drink water today. So, you know, stay hydrated. Make sure that you have time to rest. Try to make it so the thoughts aren't so intrusive.
Wow, great words. And again, Big Peeny Geek, thank you for coming on and talking us through this and talking me through this. I really, really appreciate you and to spend this time with us. And you were on twice this week. That's a wow. Record, too.
Yeah.
So, hey, thanks. Arvina Martin from Emerge Wisconsin and our friend and our Ho-Chunk, I really appreciate you. Up next, Bob Blake from Red Lake. I always like to say that, with Solar Bear with the Solar News, and we'll be continuing this conversation. So thanks again, Arvina.
You're welcome.
Explore connections in skin, living armor, evolving identity at the Science Museum of Minnesota. Then step back 65 million years with T-Rex on the Omni Theater's giant screen. Details at smm.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Again, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio, and we have our friend Bob Blake from Red Lake and the Solar Bear with the Solar News, and we're talking some national stuff here right now, Bob, and... the gray cloud over this country with all this gun violence. And thank you so much for coming on today. And we'll be talking about a few things, but I just wanted to lead off with that, in that it's 9/11 and the anniversary of that. And so it's a pretty heavy day, and I appreciate you coming on for a couple segments, Robert.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Robert. Wow. That is a lot to take in.
Yeah.
It's 9/11, the tragedy of that event and how, you know, our country has, you know, they built the One World Trade Center there. You know, to I was down there, Robert, to see some of the stuff, and it's amazing. It's really overwhelming when you walk through that space to see mm-hmm. all that.
Yeah, we took the tour, which I didn't want to do, and it's been so many years, but I think Wendy and I took that tour last year or maybe the year before, but we held off for a long time just to see that because, you know, we're old enough to remember that day. And I was talking to Arvina in the last segment, kind of touching about, I couldn't believe how after that happened, weeks after that, how quiet the airport was because they didn't have anybody flying and they didn't know what was going on, if it was a big attack or more attacks coming. And here we are again now with gun violence here that is making this day a real sad day. And we can't forget about the young ones that were shot yesterday in school. And then, of course, the tragedy that happened here a few weeks ago in our school shooting here in Minnesota.
Yeah, I mean, now more than ever, you know, we need our leaders, you know, we need our, you know, our folks, our communities to come together to, you know, get everyone through this. This is a lot, especially for our young people, like you said, Robert, for them to handle right now, to take in. And I just want, like, all of the adults out there to remember, those young people are watching us, you know? They're, like, seeing how we handle this, seeing what we do, seeing what we talk about. I always love that that quote from Martin Luther King that says, hate can't drive out hate, only love can, you know? Yeah. And I always remember that when, you know, when these tragic events do take place, that, you know, at the root cause of all this is hate. And hate doesn't have a place, you know, here. And we should really love our neighbor and learn to, you know, come to some type of, you know, common ground, meeting of the mind, so to speak, Robert, with our disagreements. It's okay to disagree, but we can agree to disagree. You know what I mean? We'll still respect one another.
And my deal too, specifically with Charlie Kirk, was that he was no friends of ours. He was attacking us but no one deserves to be murdered. And so that's the one thing that I want to say too, is because of the quotes that, you know, I didn't know as much about him. And it's funny, I don't know, did you watch South Park at all this last year, where they're really going after Trump?
No, I haven't. But, I love South Park, by the way. If I was been a South Park fan watcher.
The second show of the season had, I think his name, I can't remember their names, Kyle, the heavyset one. Well, his hair was like Charlie Kirk's, and he was doing the same kind of thing. Matter of fact, he was under a kind of a overview like where Charlie Kirk was yesterday, and it was kind of bizarre too. But again, I don't follow Republican stuff, and I didn't realize that this person had a lot to do with the presidency flipping over to Bush. I mean, to Trump. And so he was a big hero to the Democrats or Republicans, and there was just a lot of hate coming from him. But again, no one deserves to be shot or assassinated. I just want to say that. And it's the times we're living in here, and we just had a couple people murdered here that we both know, Hortman and her husband, and there was no call to the governor. There was no reach out from Trump. There was no half-staff flags like they're doing for him. And it's really apparent that I guess liberal lives don't matter as much as Republican lives in a lot of ways. And that's something that is really new in the last 10 years for us to witness.
It is. You know, really shows, I mean, unfortunately, that the way this young man lived his life is the same way that he was kind of gotten out, right? How he ended it, you know? Yeah. you know, I think that has a lot to say about the energy that you put out there is the energy that you get, right? And it's really you know, sad that that had to be, you know, his ending. I understand he's got a family, a young family.
They were there.
And, you know, that's, you know, my heart and, you know, my prayers go out to obviously those young kids because they don't, they have nothing to do with this. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so, you know, I, but I think this is a good lesson for, like, you know, for everyone, like young folks too. Like, I mean, how you decide to live your life. I mean, how you decide to go out every day, and be a part of this world. You know, I always go back to the invisible contract that we all sign, Robert. There's that invisible contract that we sign to live in society. And some people will say, oh, well, that doesn't matter to me, or I don't have nothing to do with that. You know, you know, but, you know, we do, Robert. And it's that invisible contract that we all sign to live in this society with one another, to act accordingly, to abide by laws, to you know, do right by others, to to help move all of us along,
or stop at stop signs, for God's sakes. You know, I mean, just those things that we take for granted that we do every day. I'm with you.
Yeah, the social contract—that's what it's called. The social contract that we all signed to be here. I think we all have a responsibility, and you know, I'm not the judge, jury, and decider of Charlie Kirk, but. You know, when you spew that kind of violence, you spew that kind of hate, I don't really necessarily feel like he was living the social contract. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, that's what happened. And you know, and, you know, I just think people need to really, 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 like, before you do anything, stop, ask for help. We need to put more money into mental health services. We need to get serious about gun control, you know, and I mean, and we really need to be able to look at this from a holistic point of view of, you know, putting money back into our educational system, because it's through our educational system, Robert, and you know this as a lifelong teacher, that that's where the gains and the advantages and the opportunities and, you know, and the ability to be able to see the opportunity, you know, the different ways that, you know, one could work through whatever issue it is that they have with either you're a Democrat or a Republican, they can work through that themselves to figure out a better pathway forward. And, you know, we all know that the educational system was cut back in the early 80s and they've been making cuts ever since. Mm-hmm. And we need to start investing into our kids and our youth and our future again.
Wow, that's a really good point, and that's like a whole nother show. But God, I don't know if you remember this, Bob, but I'm old enough to remember where people came all over the world to see what Minnesota was doing about their education, because we were a beacon of education across not only this country but the world. But just being worn down, like you said, since the 80s, you know, there's a lot of unfunded special ed and things like that that the monies don't really get to the school student. And so you're absolutely right, and it's an amazing thing to see here. We got a couple minutes, Bob, in this segment, and I'd really like to talk to you in the last segment about the Vikings. And I know we're on 20 Wisconsin stations, so we're gonna have to be nice to them, but we can talk good things about the Vikings in the next segment.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the Green Bay Packers signed Micah Parsons, which I think is going to be one of the one of the turners of this division. So kudos to you, Green Bay Packers, for signing the best defensive end in the entire NFL.
Before we get into the Viking talk, I'd like you to, if you have any solar bear with the solar news, and then we'll talk about it in the next segment.
Yeah, you know, Robert, I do want to say one thing real quick about the solar bear with the solar news, and I want to talk about the solar canal down in Arizona that was put together with in conjunction with Gila River Indian Reservation. This is one of the biggest 1.6 megawatt of solar panels over canals. It's going to make sure that the water doesn't vaporize into the air. It's also going to cool the solar panels, producing more electricity for the Southwest. And you know that it gets hot down there. Mm-hmm. I think this is a very ingenuity project and successful project. And it really shows the way that states, federal government, and Native American tribes can come together to fight climate change and be able to preserve reliable energy for citizenry around in that area.
That's awesome. And a breath of a positive air, which you always bring to Native Roots Radio, Bob. I really, really appreciate you. We got like 30 seconds. Is there anything else before we get into Indian Viking talk next segment? Or I should say football talk for you Wisconsin people.
Yeah, I was just going to say that there is going to be some re-looking at the Department of Energy Loan Indian Program, and hopefully there will be some good things that will come out of that that will serve Indian country. So really excited for those things happening on a federal level, but we'll see how that happens and how that rolls out.
Yeah, and it's so great that you're all over the country. There's sometimes you can't come on the show because you're speaking somewhere, and so people listening to Bob Blake with Solar Bear of the Solar News knows that your street cred is very big for us here on Native Roots Radio, and I really appreciate you coming in. And now we're going to be talking a little different in the next segment, but again, thank you so much for coming on. It's a big deal to me, and I appreciate you. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Robert Pilot, and I'm here with Robert Blake, the Solar Bear with the Solar News, and we talked a little bit about what's happening here and politically, and now we still have a little update here on what's happening, Bob, and then we'll get into a little Vikings and Packers talk.
Yeah, Robert, I want to be able to just highlight this conference here. Mm-hmm. It is the Tribal Advisory Council on Energy. It's the TACE conference, and it's going to be at Grand Casino Mille Lacs in Onamia, Minnesota, September 18th and 19th. All tribal nations in the state of Minnesota will be there. And this is the first ever tribal energy forum by the TACE board. So TACE is the first basically tribal energy advisory board that's in the state in the United States. There's 50 states, and we're the first. This is the first one. Minnesota was a part of this legislation and got this passed on a state level, and it is state funded. And the idea around this is to be able to help tribes navigate the energy landscape, and with a lot of transmission that is being planned around the state of Minnesota. These lines are going to be running through tribal territories, and tribes really need to have a seat at the table when those decisions are being made, Robert. And so we want to be able to have that information for these tribal nations, and also when they need technical assistance as in tribal development, energy development, workforce development, and economic development that will all come with this. I don't think we're right there yet where everybody understands how important energy is going to be to our lives in the near future. You just seen a report from the XL Energy saying that they are going to substantially raise their electricity rates to their customers. And so I think in the near future, people are going to understand how important electricity is going to be, because we're going to be electrifying everything to vehicles, yeah. Our homes, you know, you name it, everything is going to be electrified. And so right now, I think they're saying like we're going to need about five times more electricity, something like that, that we're currently using in the state of Minnesota. I mean, so we're talking about a big push for renewables, yeah. Outlay of other energy resources. But it's going to get very real, real quick, Robert. And climate change is not going to help our situation. So we got to continue to move forward with everything that we have.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And that's, geez, another great report from the Solar Bear, from the Solar News. I appreciate that. And we'll have to bring that up and then get an update, too. Well, Bob, we got like 6 minutes here, 7 minutes here. Let's get down to what's really important to us, and that's NFL football. Oh, no, just kidding.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Robert. You know, it looks like Christian Darrisaw and that offensive line is going to be healthy here. Everybody's going to be on there. They brought in Ryan Kelly and some other folks, Brian Kelly and some of these other guys, all pros. So they really beefed up that line for J.J. McCarthy. Probably they're saying the best line in the NFL right now. So yeah. Kevin O'Connell, Kwesi Adolfo, like, let's give props out to those guys for really putting together a heck of a squad. We always say that the secondary is always the weak point for the Vikings, but you know, it's Brian Flores, and I mean, you're talking about probably the best coaching duo in the NFL between Brian Flores and Kevin O'Connell. So you know, if that's our weak point, if the secondary is our weak point, and you know, Harrison Smith's back there, the veteran, I'm okay with that. I feel confident in that.
Well, so, it's interesting, too. It looks like Detroit has major flaws now. Green Bay, I think Chicago's new head coach was Detroit's offensive coordinator. Is that right? And now Detroit has no offense. and Green Bay put it to him.
Yeah, it's their offensive coordinator moved on to Ben Johnson, I believe his name is. He moved on to be the head coach for the Chicago Bears. And then Aaron Glenn moved on to coach who was the defensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions, is now the head coach for the New York Jets.
What?
So, yeah. So you've got both of your head coaches, masterminds leave the organization, and then they didn't do some key signings too. And then some people lost some people to free agency. So, yeah, feel bad for Detroit. If there was their time, it was last year. I think the division's going to go down Minnesota, Green Bay, Detroit, and Chicago. Chicago's going to have a good season too. I mean, here's the reality of the situation, Robert. The NFC North is probably the toughest division in the NFL. I mean, the most competitive. So they're literally going to beat up on each other.
Yeah. Well, I have to say this, and we kind of knew this with all these quarterbacks coming to Minnesota during our head coach's time, that he has to be one of the best head coaches out there. And then you didn't see him get mad or anything on the sidelines with the first three quarters of really ineptness. He let his players play and knew that, felt confident that they'd be able to pull it off, and dang if they didn't. Unbelievable. JJ was unbelievable for one quarter. It was unbelievable. I was like bummed out, ready to change the station.
Well, you know, and I mean, you think about Kevin O'Connell and his past of, being Tom Brady's backup, right? Yeah. Being at the New England Patriots, you know, winning over there. So he knows what it's like to win. Being under Sean McVay out in Los Angeles, you know, he won under Sean McVay. They call Kevin O'Connell the quarterback whisperer, you know. And, I mean, look at Daniel Jones. He's playing for the Indiana Colts this year. But he probably had the best Sunday this last week out of all of NFL quarterbacks. And he was a quarterback here with Minnesota Vikings. And then Sam Darnold now is out in Seattle. They had a pretty decent outing. So, I mean, all these ex-quarterbacks played for Kevin O'Connell are now out there playing somewhere else. It's got to say something about the guy, right?
There's only one that really isn't playing, and he went to Atlanta, and he's on the bench right now making a lot of money. That's the only one that maybe he couldn't help.
But let's look at what happened here, though. I mean, you know, this kid, you know, J.J. McCarthy, he kept his posture. There's stories of him through the first three quarters that he was keeping the team loose, like, we're going to make a comeback here. And sure enough, did he not do it right here at the end of the quarter, or the fourth quarter, to really show some poise and to really show, like, hey, he's the real deal. So I'm all in on J.J. McCarthy. I like this Max Rosner. I'm telling you, Robert, Minnesota's got a really good team.
I got to tell you, JJ, I heard a stat that since high school, he's 65-3. That's his record.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you know, this kid, I mean, he is going to do really good for us. He's got all the tools. He's got the best wide receiver in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, the best duo we have, Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson. And then we've got Hockenson there at the tight end.
Yeah.
And then we've got Aaron Jones and Jordan Mason in the backfield. I mean, I just feel like all the pieces are there for this guy to just dump the ball off and do a Tom Brady. I really do. And let's remake the connection here, Robert. Tom Brady went to Michigan. J.J. McCarthy went to Michigan. I mean, you know, Jim Harbaugh, he said it. He goes, we might got the next Tom Brady.
Hey. Who are we playing this next week, and what's your prediction?
We're playing the Atlanta Falcons, everybody, Sunday night at 7:20 p.m. at U.S. Bank Stadium. Everybody get ready for this. This is going to be a great game. I'm so excited, Robert. I'm going to be out with the guys. We're going to be watching it. It's going to be a great time.
Geez, I was hoping you'd invite me to your suite, but I guess
Robert. You're invited to the Lucky 13.
There you go. Hey, what's the score? Going to be the score?
I don't think it's going to be as close as everybody thinks it is, but I'm going to go out and I'm going to say 27-21.
There you go. Hey, there you go, you guys. Native Roots Radio.
Hi, this is Ellen Stanley, host of Women Folk Radio on KFAI. KFAI is a proud sponsor of our Women Folk Concert Series, taking place the third Monday of every month at the 331 Club in Minneapolis. Featuring free performances by the finest women and non-binary artists in our local folk and roots music scene. We kick off this year's concert series on Monday, September 15th at 6 p.m. with a performance by rising star and soulful singer Sammy Jean Cohen. Hope to see you there or online as we stream live on the Women Folk Radio Show Facebook page.
Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are here with Guadalupe Lopez, new director of Minnesota Department of Public Safety, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives Office, and just so proud. I'm so proud to drive around with my license plate, and it says Land Back on it, and or it just says Land BK, but you know what it means. But people, like, it's important. We talked to State Senator Mary Kunesh, who was a big part of this too, about buying those license plates. And I see a lot of people in my neighborhood that aren't Native that have them too.
It's true. I love to see the solidarity of, you know, investing into those plates go to our reward fund. And so that is something that this office has started, and it just got released right before my hire. And so I know that the current staff worked really hard to make sure that, and DPS worked really hard to make sure that that was an effort that was made by the office for reward funds for our people who we're searching for, or finding tips about who were murdered.
It's hard because for me, I see people missing all the time on my feed, and I have to share it. And I can't imagine how your staff feels too, being boots on the ground, which you literally are at times. But the support for the family is very much needed, and it needs to be put out on blast, and I'm glad this your organization's there to do that.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really proud of the team. And so we have an intelligence specialist. We have a the community planner, prevention specialist, and then we have a victim service who works directly with some of the families and or all of the families. And so I know that we're still learning to meld with each other as a new team. Mm-hmm. Also just, you know, understanding like with the contemporary, you know, events of what's happening in our communities. It's not, we're for the whole state. So it's not just only Metro. It's not only just, you know, Northern Minnesota or Southern Minnesota. It's everywhere. And so we really need to be building those community partners with advocacy programs and system-based, working with law enforcement to make sure that we build really great relationships to have that dialogue back and forth so we can assist families and communities the best we can.
Well, I have to believe, because this office is the first one in the country, that you have a lot of other states reaching out to you and wondering how you're doing this. Have you run into that in your early career here?
Yes, we've had our staff meetings. We just had one today where we were talking about how other, you know, indigenous communities, just for instance, Hawaii was talking about what are we doing in Minnesota. I know that North Dakota, I've seen that NPR article about North Dakota having quite a few young relatives in like back to back with missing. However we could support and help, we want to. I know that we, just from getting feedback from my colleagues, one of the things that they had said is that they've been given information from other people of like best practices in their community. And so I think nobody knows exactly the right formula yet, right? Because of we're just looking into it in this different way. And so, we also know like what creates the perfect storm of, you know, that has our people going missing and murdered. And so how do we rectify that? And so we're doing our best to try to change systems and social norms around missing and murdered.
One of the social norms that I heard a few years ago was from our friend, State Representative Heather Keeler, and it was an MMIR rally at the Capitol, and I'll never forget this, and how she put this is that she's told her children, her sons in particular, that she would never leave them. So if she's gone, look for me, because I would never leave you. And I think that was the old kind of scenario that the police and people felt was like, oh, they just left for the weekend and they're coming back, you know, and just totally blew off the urgency of possibly what was happening.
Right. So, well, that's a misconception, is that you immediately call. There is no waiting period. If you know that somebody is missing, you can call law enforcement right away to make a report. And so that is something that is really important. I mean, I think I even had that in my head probably a few years ago. It was changed under Brandon's Law. And so that is something that that was changed for communities. And I think that that is, you know, it makes my heart real heavy to have to say that we have to like plan for, but really kind of like, it's scary. I try to, you know, if I didn't have hope that we can make change, I promise you, I couldn't do this work for, you know, 20 plus years. That I do believe, and there has been change, and it's not as fast as we want it to be. And it's really hard when we're working with families, and communities that are so devastated by the loss of their loved ones and their community members, because we're all impacted and we're all intertwined. And that grief doesn't necessarily, you know what I mean? Like, we need a safe places to land that grief. And so what does that look like for our communities as well? And having those dialogues. And we live in a community, in a society where it's like, oh, well, this horrible, tragic thing happened to you. Okay, you get like...
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.